Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. Actually, this is Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. And we're going to get our show started here in just a moment. Joining me is our co-host for tonight and for every Thursday night from here on out, and that is MJ Huseman. Welcome to the show, MJ.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm really excited to get the NASCAR Weekend Preview show started here again on Thursday nights. And with that, our Monday night show becomes the review show, where Thursday night will always be our preview show. So tonight, we're going to be previewing the Can-Am Pro Series East that is also racing at Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend, along with the Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. The Camping World Truck Series is off this week, but we will give a little bit of a preview there as well. They won't be racing again until May, MJ.
That's right. Kansas Speedway is their next race. The Toyota Tundra 250 on Friday, May 12th, will be their next race.
Absolutely. So fans can stay tuned for that. But right now, what we're going to get into is in the first half hour, we'll talk Can-Am Pro Series East. We'll talk Camping World Truck Series, what information we have there. And then in the second half hour, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, we will get into the Xfinity Series race, and the second or the last half hour, which starts at 9:30 Eastern time, we will get into the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So let's go ahead and get started with the Can-Am Pro Series East. They are racing at Bristol Motor Speedway this Saturday, April the 22nd, and the time is 4 p.m. Eastern time. Now, one thing that we always try to make sure we alert fans to is that on Thursday, April 27th, is when they will air that race on NBCSN. So mark your calendars, set your DVRs, because these are great races to watch. And should be pretty fun at Bristol.
How can you not go wrong with the race at Bristol, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, there's only been 5 races at Bristol, and although it's been on the fixture for NASCAR's top series, there's only been 5 Can-Am Pro Series races at that track. Last year, Chad Fincham won. Harrison Burton was the pole winner. And I know that both of those drivers want to have a good showing this weekend as well.
Well, and if you look at it, of the 5 races, as you mentioned, there's been 5 different pole winners and 5 different winners.
Yes. So who's going to be the 6th winner? Is it going to be a 6th different winner or a repeat winner this year? We're not sure. Now, I'm looking at the entry list here, and I know Harrison Burton is entered this year in this race. I'm checking to see if Chad Fincham is on the list. So I'm sure he's going to be looking to get a repeat win at the track this weekend as well.
That's right. And the other one that could possibly be a repeat winner would be Eddie McDonald in the 71.
Yes, he's the veteran of the series. This is going to be his season debut at Bristol Motor Speedway, so I know he's going to want to make the most of it at the track this weekend. Now, yep. Some of the previous winners are going to be names that you remember, names that you know from the Can-Am Pro Series. We mentioned Chad won last season, Dylan Kwasniewski, who raced both the he has a championship in both the East and the West in the K&N Pro Series. He won here in 2013. And you mentioned Eddie McDonald. But another driver that's won here is Nelson Piquet Jr., won the inaugural race at Bristol Motor Speedway in this series. So that's pretty interesting, too, because we've seen him race in the K&N, in the Camping World Truck Series, too.
That's right. Moved up and also got a win there with on the Truck Series out in California.
Yes, indeed. Now, the points are fairly tight in this series. Ronnie Bassett Jr. Is one of the two drivers that have top five finishes in the K&N Pro Series. The other driver, he won at New Smyrna. He came in second at Greenville Pickens. And then Harrison Burton is also has two top five finishes. And he's second in the point standings. There's only 7 points separating those two.
That's right. Harrison Burton's finished fourth in both his races so far this year.
That's right. And I know he's going to be looking to see what he can do at Bristol. Bristol's not an easy track for new drivers, MJ, but a lot of these drivers, there's been quite a few drivers that have first-time wins here.
The one I'd look for, I know I don't mention it because he's primarily running the West Series, but is running the East Series as well, is Todd Gillen. He's entered in his number 16 Napa Toyota.
Yes, I think that's a good pick to be a driver that could win here. He's the reigning champion in the series. He's the reigning K&N West champion. He has 6 wins in that series, 11 top fives and 13 top tens in 14 races. He became the youngest champion in the Touring Series last season, and he comes from a very rich heritage of racers, considering his grandfather, Butch Gilliland, raced in this series, as well as his dad, David Gilliland.
Well, and so far this year, he's dominated. He's got 3 in a row already in the West. And the East side, he's only finished 3rd and 9th in the 2 races so far this year, though.
Yes, so he's going to be looking to have a good finish after finishing 9th at Bristol last year. Who are some of the other drivers you think we should keep our eye on this week, MJ?
Well, if you're going to look at the top, Ronnie Bassett, as you said, is leading the points as a win in the second. So he's looking really strong so far this year if he can maintain that momentum.
Yes, indeed. We mentioned Harrison Burton, another driver to keep your eye on this weekend. Again, he's second in the series point standings, just 7 points out of the lead. He's looking to make up some ground toward that first place at Bristol this weekend. So definitely a lot to look forward to in the K&N Pro Series East as they head into Bristol this weekend. Now, there's a couple of drivers. Tyler Dippo is going to be racing this weekend as well. He finished 3rd in the final series point season series standings last season. He had 1 win, 1 top 5, and 8 top 10s in 14 races. And at Bristol last year, he finished 17th. I've got a feeling he's going to be looking better that finish this season.
Without a doubt, and doing a little bit better there, Hunter Bayes finished 4th in the season standings last year as a rookie with 1 top 5 and 10 top 10s in his 14 starts. His finish was 16th in his only career start there at Bristol.
Yeah, so again, another driver that's going to be looking to best his finishes from last year. A couple of drivers from Rev Racing are also going to be participating. No, Chase Cobray is making his series debut at Bristol, and he's 7th in the point standings right now. He made a debut at New Smyrna earlier this year. He finished 12th, and this will be his first race at Bristol. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. And then Colin Cabre is also racing this weekend. He's finished 6th at Bristol last year, his best finish in 2 career starts at the track. So, again, he's going to be looking to maybe get into the top 5 this weekend.
And then you got Eddie McDonald, as we mentioned. He leads all current drivers with 192 career K&N Pro Series starts dating back to 2001. There's a total of 8 career top 10s in the final series standings, including a career best 2nd place in the championship in 2009. He's the only driver this weekend to have won previously at Bristol, winning there in 2014 from the 13th starting position.
Yeah, and again, he's making his season debut. Go ahead.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to say that this is his season debut this weekend, his first start this year. He's got 4 top 10s and 5 career starts at Bristol, so he'll at least be up there at the front.
Absolutely. And one of the things that friends will want to make sure that they keep an eye on this weekend is that this is the 31st season for the K&N Pro Series East. So that's a lot of years that they've been running this series. But as we mentioned earlier, only 5 races at Bristol Motor Speedway. The series features 14 races at 13 different tracks across the United States this season. This marks the 6th consecutive year that the Pro-Am Series East will race at Bristol during the same weekend as the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So this is a big weekend for this series to be racing the same weekend as both the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series. Now, do you have any favorites you think that might be the winner this weekend?
Oh, if I were going to go with somebody that we know can win there, I think it would have to be Kyle Benjamin. He's one that's always right there, top 5. He only has 1 career win, but he is there top 5 week in and week out. So I think he's going to be a strong one to watch.
I couldn't agree more. I think that he's a good driver. Another driver to really keep your eye on that I think could have a chance at winning this weekend, and we talked about him a little bit earlier, Harrison Burton, I think is a driver to keep your eye on. Last year, he won the pole at Bristol Motor Speedway, and he's going to be looking to kind of for some redemption this season because he went out early with some engine problems after racing at Bristol last year. I know he wants to come back not only and make up some ground on the point series standings, but he wants to come back and have a good showing this year in this series. So I think Harrison Burton is definitely someone who could really do well this weekend.
You know, one, I think we forgot to mention, also making his season debut is 2-time winner Jesse Little in the NASCAR Technical Institute Toyota. So we'll see how he does with his first time out this year.
Yeah, Jesse Little races part-time in the K&N Pro Series, and I am really excited that he's going to be racing at Bristol. This will be a good showing for him, and he has a lot of experience, so definitely a driver to keep your eye on this weekend. Okay, well, I think we're pretty much wrapped up here with the K&N Pro Series. Again, fans, if you missed it a little bit earlier, they're racing this Saturday, April 22nd at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to catch the broadcast of this race, it usually happens a little bit later in the week. Next Thursday, April the 27th at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, NBCSN will run that race. If you're not up at that time, set the DVR so you can watch it at your convenience later. But definitely keep your eyes on this. And I want to just mention, Chad Fincham is a driver to keep your eye on this weekend, too. Having won there last year, there's a good chance he wants to do a repeat coming into the race again this year.
Right, that's another one we forgot to mention. He definitely would have to be considered a top contender.
I think so, too. So definitely keep your eyes on Chad Fincham for this weekend. Now, I want to mention that although they're not broadcasting the race live on TV, what you can do is go to hometracks.nascar.com, and they have a Race Central there. You can follow along with all of the action as it is happening. They do a good job. Speed 51 runs that board. And they do Race Central, and they do a great job of keeping fans up to date with what's going on during the race. So you can find out right away who's winning, who's leading, who's passing who, and what's going on throughout the race, because they'll have it all for you, including photos sometimes, right there at Race Central at NASCAR Home Tracks website. So definitely keep an eye on that. But let's go ahead and move over to the Camping World Truck Series, MJ, because they're not racing this weekend, but there's a lot happening within that series. As you mentioned earlier, their next race doesn't take place until Friday, May the 12th. The Toyota 250 will be held at Kansas Speedway. The FS1 will start their broadcast coverage. I think they've got the times mixed up here, but I believe at 8 p.m. with a green flag sometime around 8:30. The radio coverage will be on MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR radio if you don't have access on the TV. They're racing 250.5 miles, 167 laps. Stage 1 will end on lap 40, stage 2 on lap 80, with the final stage, of course, on the final lap, 167. If they were going to close out the top eight drivers right now in the Camping World Truck Series, there's some pretty notable names on that list. What I like about this list, MJ, is that we have veterans, we have newbies, and we have drivers that are in their like second or third season with the Camping World Truck Series. They've got it all in the top eight.
That's right. I mean, even with what they had last year, this year it's just as good. You got Chase Briscoe, Ben Rhodes, Grant Enfinger there at the bottom of those eight. And if you remember the Truck Series, it's only eight that they take into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Those drivers, two of those drivers are new this season to racing full-time in the Camping World Truck Series, Chase Briscoe and Grant Enfinger. So they've really been doing a great job, I think, this season as newbies, as rookies, I should be saying. Ben Rhodes, this is his second full-time season in the Camping World Truck season, and he's had a really good start to the season with an average finish of 12.0 this season. Now, the next drivers are all the veterans. When you think about Timothy Peters, Matt Crafton, and Johnny Sauter, two champions in that group.
Yeah, you got Johnny Sauter as the defending champion, and Matt Crafton winning back-to-back champions in 13 and 14. So you got two tough, tough champions right there.
Absolutely, and these are the veterans of the sport. They know how to race at a track like Bristol Motor Speedway. So I don't think there's any chance of any of those three dropping out of the top eight at Bristol Motor Speedway. But let's talk about the top two. Christopher Bell, again, this is the second season for him. Kaz Gorella is brand new, and he's a Daytona winner, the very first race of this season, which is one of the reasons why he's right up there in the point standings.
That's right, winning right out the gate at Daytona. You know, he's pretty much locked himself in for the championship. I know the Truck Series, again, only taken eight. It's possible they get eight different winners, but we haven't seen that yet.
Absolutely. We'll have to wait and see what happens. I think the top two teams to watch this season has been GMS Racing, and Thor Sport Racing. Both of those teams have been really impressive this season, and they're really going at it for that championship.
Yeah, you got Sauter and Grala with the GMS. And with that, Chase Elliott won at Martinsville, and that was also in a GMS truck.
That's right. And with Thor Sport, you've got the two-time Truck Series champion, Matt Crafton and Ben Rhodes, along with the rookies, Grant Infinger and Cody Coughlin. Crafton is third in those point standings, as we talked about earlier, followed by Rhodes, who's sixth, and Infinger eighth. Coughlin is 13th, so he's kind of he's got some work to do to get into that top eight, but it's still impressive. Those are the two powerhouse teams, I think, to keep your eyes on in this season in the Camping World Truck Series.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, three of the last four Camping World Truck Series championships have come from those two teams, with Sauter last year and then Crafton in 13 and 14. And Sauter actually moved from Thor Sports over to GMS last year.
That's true. So he took, I think, a lot of his expertise from Thor Sport, and they're doing really, really well at GMS too. Now, as it's a good reminder that the Camping World Truck Series at this point will not be racing at Bristol this weekend. We've talked about that. But they will be racing when they get back to that track in August, the very popular race weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway with the racing in August. So definitely look forward to that. The UNOH 200 will be Wednesday night. Another thing to make note of, and that we're giving you early advance notice, mark your calendar for Wednesday, August the 16th, for the Camping World Truck Series race. That will be on FS1 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So Ben Kennedy is the defending winner at Bristol in that August race, and they've seen seven different race winners in the last seven races there, so it'll be fun to see who's going to come up out on top this year in August.
You know, Sharon, that's one, talk about having regrets in life, back in 2009, 2010, I believe, where they had 4 days of racing at Bristol. Wednesday was the NASCAR Wheeling Modifieds. Thursday was the Camping World Trucks. Friday would be the Xfinity. And then Saturday was the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. I mean, you can't ask for something better than that. Go up there for a week and see four shows. I know this weekend you can go up and see three with the K&N,
yep,
Xfinity, and Monster Energy NASCAR Cup guys.
But that's a full weekend. That's a full week, really, of racing almost, with everything starting on Wednesday night.
That's right.
And
again,
like
I said, I regret not going up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's great when they bring in the Wheel and Modifieds to race with the NASCAR Top Series as well, because it's great recognition for all the hard work that those drivers do throughout the season. Now, a couple of other things that I want to make sure we point out here. William Byron, when they go to Kansas coming up in May, William Byron is the defending race winner there. The top five drivers that finished there last season, well, actually, I'm going to talk about eight of the drivers that are racing this season, were all had top 10 finishes at Kansas last year. That includes Matt Crafton in second, Christopher Bell finished fourth, Ryan Truex sixth, and Timothy Peters eighth. So that's something to keep in mind going into Kansas in May. And speaking of Ryan Truex Jr., he's got a big weekend this weekend. He's making his debut in the K&N Pro Series East race, the Zombie Auto 125 at Bristol this weekend.
That's right. We missed that. He hasn't competed in the K&N East since 2010 when he was driving for Michael Waltrip Racing.
That's right. And what's interesting, too, is that Hattori Racing, who he races with in the Camping World Truck Series, is also the team he's going to be racing with in the K&N Pro Series this weekend. Truex has five wins in that series, and he has 15 top fives, 17 top tens and 22 career Can-Am Pro Series East races. So he's a veteran of the Can-Am Pro Series program. So it'll be good to see him coming back to race that race this weekend at Bristol.
Well, we talked about who we thought was going to win, and we mentioned quite a few. I don't know how many drivers we now have put in the top five, but you got to put Ryan Truex up there with them.
Yeah, when you think about that, he's definitely got to be one of the drivers to watch this weekend. So I'm glad we caught that and mentioned that, because he'll also be racing in the Camping World Truck Series this weekend too. So he'll be doing double duty for sure. Okay, so
one of those drivers that can definitely handle it, because he can get in any kind of vehicle. When he runs late models too, he's always at the front.
He's always there. We've got a little time left here for the Camping World Truck Series. Is there anything else that you wanted to make sure we pointed out, Jay or MJ?
Well, I just got a message from a friend of mine. Andrew Groff hit me up here. He's picking Bell because he says the KBM trucks are the ones to beat.
Okay, and that is true. I would think at Bristol Motor Speedway, who better to learn from than Kyle Busch, the owner of KBM Motorsports, Kyle Busch Motorsports. It's kind of a big deal, and he loves seeing his drivers do well, and he's a good trainer. We've seen him train some pretty successful drivers.
Well, and we'll get to some stats on Kyle himself here when we talk about the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, but when we mentioned the truck series between the two teams, if you notice, 2015 was the one missing, and that was Eric Jones in a Kyle Busch truck.
That's right. Kyle Busch has done a good job. Eric Jones has been very successful, I think, in the Xfinity Series, and he has stepped up into the Monster Energy Cup Series a couple of times and shown some good talent there as well.
No, that's correct.
Okay, so with that, I was just going through some of my notes here to see if I had any other news that we wanted to bring out in the Camping World Truck Series. It's just, you know, Bristol is just one of those tracks that is do not miss racing. And I know the Camping World Truck Series is not racing this weekend, but you can bet that those drivers, there's going to be drivers from the Camping World Truck Series that are going to be paying a lot of attention to what happens this weekend. All right, let's go ahead and get into our Xfinity Series preview. We're just about ready for that 9 o'clock half hour, and I'm just going to go ahead and get right into it here, MJ. The Xfinity Series is racing the Fitzgerald Glider Kits 300 this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway, Saturday, April the 22nd. FS1 will be carrying coverage starting at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. It says a green flag here at about 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Radio coverage will be on PRN, SiriusXM NASCAR radio as well. And they're racing 159 miles over 300 laps. And again, I'm loving the stage racing. I think we'll talk a little bit more about this. But stage one ends on lap 85 for that event. Stage two is going to end on lap 170, and the final stage, of course, is on lap 300 in the Xfinity Series. A lot to look forward to with this Xfinity Series race. We've got the Dash for Cash program. This is the second race of four for that Xfinity Series Dash for Cash.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought you could add more excitement to a race at Bristol, but having the stage races this year and this being, like you said, the second Dash for Cash, going to be a super exciting race.
And $1 million is still out for the grabs with Justin Allgaier. Right now, he's the only driver eligible to maybe go for that $600,000 bonus for winning all four of the Dash for Cash races. He won at Phoenix, the first race for the Dash for Cash. They'll be racing at Bristol this weekend. The next two races include Richmond, that's going to be coming up in another week or so, and then Dover is the fourth Dash for Cash track. So definitely something for fans to keep their eyes on there. Allgaier won $100,000 at Phoenix. Who's going to win the $100,000 this weekend at Bristol is the big question.
Well, before we get too deep into that, I'd have to go with Allgaier, and I'll explain that with the stats. But I want to make sure fans understand a couple of things. You don't necessarily have to win the race. It's the highest finishing Xfinity driver, regular driver, the highest finishing.
That's right.
Now, in Allgaier's case, he happened to have won the race as well, but if a Cup driver wins the race, it still goes to the highest finishing Xfinity driver.
Right. Those drivers that have declared series points for the Xfinity series. And you're absolutely right, MJ. It's the top two finishing Xfinity Series drivers. Now, let's kind of go over some of the race format for the Dash for Cash. It's the qualifying that's going to determine the starting positions for the race. The field will begin the race with Stage 1, followed by Stage 2, and then, of course, the final stage. Based on the participation guidelines that were announced last year, drivers with more than 5 years of full-time experience are restricted from the four races in the Dash for Cash program. That's the Cup drivers with more than 5 years of full-time experience. So they cannot race in this race. So this is going to be an Xfinity Series race.
That's right. If you look from last year, the top 10 had six drivers that are now Cup drivers. Now, three of them are still eligible to compete because they don't have 5 years experience. Jones, mm-hmm. Kyle Larson, Austin Dillon, and I believe Daniel Suarez has actually entered into one of Gibbs's cars.
Okay. So they're still eligible to participate because they have less than 5 years of full-time experience.
That's right. Total, yep. There will be, where did my roster go? Six, that we said are Cup guys but have that less than 5 years, would be Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, Austin Dillon, Ty Dillon, Daniel Suarez. Ryan Blaney is driving the Penske number 22, whereas last year it was Joey Logano.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, those drivers are not racing for series points in the Xfinity Series. Am I correct?
That's right.
Okay, so it's the Dash for Cash is only for Xfinity Series drivers. Okay, now here's the eligibility. The top two finishing NASCAR Xfinity Series drivers who have declared series points in each of the first two stages will make up the four Dash for Cash drivers. And they'll be the ones racing in that final stage for the Dash for Cash. Once Stage 1 is complete, the two drivers who lock into the main field won't have their position counted against other Dash for Cash eligible drivers following in the Stage 2 to ensure that there are four drivers for that final stage. Okay, now the next part, go ahead.
I was just saying that it put the four into the final stage. And again, the winning the race, it doesn't actually apply.
Right. It's just being the top two highest finishing Xfinity Series drivers. Now, the field will begin the race with Stage 1, followed by Stage 2, and then, of course, the final stage. And we've already covered this. Stage 1 is going to end on lap 85, Stage 2 on lap 170, and the final stage ends on lap 300. Now, the highest finisher in the final stage among the four Dash for Cash drivers wins that $100,000 prize money for the Dash for Cash. Plus, don't forget, if a driver earns two Dash for Cash bonus wins over the four races, that qualifies them for the NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs. So the driver that could do that this weekend is Justin Allgaier, because he's already won one.
Well, in his case, he's already eligible because by winning his race as well as the Dash for Cash, his win already qualifies him. But he
You're
is
right.
the only driver
You're absolutely
that has
right.
a chance at the $600,000 bonus for winning all four.
Yes. So that is definitely something that fans need to keep their eye on this weekend, is this whole Dash for Cash bonus money. That money means a lot to these race teams as it relates to sponsorship and exposure and just the prestige of having won this Dash for Cash race. And by winning, I'm meaning being a highest finishing NASCAR Xfinity Series driver. Moving on here, six different winners in six races in the Xfinity Series, MJ. That's pretty amazing.
You know, and that's what NASCAR is looking for, and we have the same on the Monster Energy Cup side. Parity between teams, between manufacturers, between drivers, that's what they're looking for.
Exactly right, and we're seeing it in this Xfinity Series. For the 11th time, in history of the Xfinity Series, we're talking since 1982, the first six races of this season has seen six different winners, with Ryan Reed at Daytona, Kyle Busch at Atlanta, Joey Logano in Las Vegas, Justin Allgaier in Phoenix, Kyle Larson at Auto Club, and Eric Jones at Texas. It's the series record for the largest number of different winners in a single season is 18. That was set way back in 1988. And last season, there were actually 14 different winners. I think we're off to a good start as far as having different winners in 2017.
Yeah, with the competition they have now, I mean, you can run down a quick list of drivers that haven't won yet that certainly are capable. Elliott Sadler hasn't won yet, and that's I can't see him going the season without winning.
Right, nope. Three drivers that are entered. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, William Byron, it'd be another one. He's been doing real good, and when we get to the stage race, and we'll talk about that. So those are two right there. I think it's possible we could get real close to breaking that record this year.
I think it's definitely possible. So definitely keep your eye out for that. We're letting you know early in the season that there is a record to be broken here. And with six winners in the first six races, it's certainly a possibility for this season. Now, four of the six different winners this season have previous wins at Bristol, but three of them are entered this weekend. Joey Logano has two Bristol wins. Eric Jones and Justin Allgaier both have one Bristol win. I believe the fourth driver is, I want to say it's Kyle Busch.
Yeah, it would have to be Kyle Busch, yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Kyle Busch. So definitely, you know, of those drivers in the Xfinity Series, the two that you really want to watch for Eric Jones and Justin Allgaier, and we've talked about the reasons why with the Dash for Cash and all of the championship points that are on the line here too. And talking about that, let's talk about the impact that stage racing and the extra stage, the bonus stage points that drivers are getting in the Xfinity Series. What a difference that's making in this series this year already.
Yeah, and if you've heard any quotes from Elliott Sadler, you know, he was like a lot of fans beginning of the year when they announced this. You know, he was trying to wrap his head around it, wasn't real sure about it. And after he came out of Daytona with the points lead, but a 21st place finish, you know, he was like, hey, I understand this, and this is a good thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll tell you, two drivers that are really making the most of these stage points are Elliott Sadler and William Byron, number one and number two in the series point standings. Now, without the stage point bonuses that they're getting this year, William Byron would be leading the series point standings. But because of the stage points that are being added to the point standings, Elliott Sadler has the advantage because he has the most stage points in the series right now.
But with Sadler getting the too early on, that gives him that slight advantage.
Right. Right now he's got the most stage points with 62 points through the first six races. He has 26 of those points are coming from stage one bonuses. 36 of those are coming from stage two. And so he's 62 stage points account for 27.5% of his 225 points that he has in his point standings. And right behind him is William Byron with 43 points, 25 from stage one and 18 from stage two. He's second in the points, just 6 points behind Sadler. And Byron's stage one and stage two points make up 19.6% of his overall driver standing points of 219. So that's pretty amazing.
The interesting thing there is Byron's final stage points are 13 more than Sadler. So that means he's finishing just slightly above in front of Sadler at the end of the race, and that could come into play down the road.
Yes, it's pretty amazing. Byron has a 7.7 average finish for the season so far. Sadler's average finish is 9.8. Both are impressive, but you said it just a minute ago. Byron has the most final stage points at 176. Sadler's final stage points are 163. So you can see where these points are going to have a huge impact. And let's not forget that whoever is the points leader at the end of the regular season gets an extra 15 playoff points to go into the playoffs, the final races of this season.
That's right. We hadn't even really addressed that as far as the playoff points. By getting that stage win, you're actually picking up one playoff point that you can put in the bank for use when it comes playoff time.
That's right. That's right. So I think as drivers start to figure this whole stage playoff point impact, I think it's going to continue to make more and more of a difference throughout the season, and drivers are going to be really working hard for those stage playoff points, I think, the closer we get to the end of the regular season.
That's right. As we keep going, again, you know, crew chiefs are going to have to adjust how they're running. You know, if they're not going to be able to win the race, they want to at least pick up some of those stage points and put themselves in a better position.
Absolutely. So I think the stage racing has been a great addition to the racing this season, and I think there's even more to be seen. We'll have to see how it plays out at Bristol, because this is going to be interesting at a short track where things already get a little bit intense. Now they're going to be intense at three different points of the race. So it's going to be a fun race to watch for sure.
Well, we saw that at Martinsville. Guys are going to get a little more aggressive when it comes time for those stage points.
And I think it's going to be intensified at Bristol. Now, Jay, we talked about six different winners in six races, five different winners in the last five races at Bristol. So that's another little stat for fans to be aware of. We're going with Austin Dillon won the fall race last year. Eric Jones won the spring race. Joey Logano won the spring race in 2015 with Ryan Blaney winning the fall 2014 race. The series leader in wins, of course, at Bristol is Kyle Busch with 8 wins, and he's the only one that's not entered this weekend.
Yeah, no, the six, and this one actually surprised me. There are 6 first-time Xfinity winners. Their first race win coming at Bristol. was Justin Allgaier in 2010, Martin Truex in 2004. Going way back in history, you got Jeff Fuller in 1996, Bobby Labonte in 1991, Rick Wilson in 1989, and Phil Parsons in 1982.
That's a pretty cool stat. And I think it's fun to see the history that is at Bristol Motor Speedway as well. And speaking of first-time winners, looking at the entry list, who's your favorite to be a first-time winner at Bristol this weekend?
Wow. If they were going to be a first-time winner, I'm going to have to lean towards Cole Custer driving for Stuart Haas Racing this year.
I like that pick because Cole is a real gutsy driver. He's a very methodical driver, but I think this track is going to suit his driving style, and I think that's an excellent pick. I would have to agree with you on that one. So definitely keep your eyes out for that.
The only other one I see that might be there for their first win in the Xfinity Series would be, again, we talked about how strong William Byron's running.
Yes, that's another good pick. Definitely another good pick. William Byron is up there second in the series point standing. He's the champion from the Camping World Truck Series last year, and that was as a rookie. He won that championship. He's a rookie in the Xfinity Series this season and doing quite well. So you're right. He definitely could be one of the drivers that could pull off a first-time win this season. Another driver to keep your eye on this season, you know, Roush Fenway Racing is really good in the Xfinity Series. They've had some pretty good success in this series. Darrell Wallace Jr., though, is looking to tie a record with Jack Ingram this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway, and that's kind of an interesting story to follow.
I was going to say, yeah, if we're going to pick positions here, there's a much easier one than picking the win, and that would be to pick Darrell Wallace Jr. to finish sixth in his number six car.
Yeah.
He's got five consecutive sixth-place finishes.
That's amazing, amazing. And if he gets another sixth-place finish this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway, he will tie Jack Ingram's record of six consecutive second-place finishes in 1983. It started on June 25th of that season at South Boston and carried on to Rougemont in July of that year. And he had those six consecutive second-place finishes were at Caraway, Rougemont, South Boston, and Hickory. What's interesting about Wallace's feat, if he comes in sixth place this weekend at Bristol, is that he will have done it on six different tracks, which is a little bit different than what Ingram did because he had a repeat with Rougemont.
Right, that's correct.
Okay.
Well, quick note on that for Darrell Wallace. You know, I talked to you about this earlier. They had an announcement today. They were on Facebook Live from the shop, Roush Fenway shop.
That's right.
Picking up Metal Yellow as a sponsorship. From what I found, it may only be a one-race deal, but he will be in the Metal Yellow car for one race.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Metal Yellow I always associate with the NHRA because they have that Metal Yellow series over there. So when you first said that, I was like, wait a minute, NHRA? And you're like, no, he's getting them as a sponsor. So yeah, that's pretty cool to see Mellow Yellow coming over to the NASCAR series here in the Xfinity series. That's kind of a big deal here.
Well, and I know
okay.
They said that Darrell Wallace only had sponsorship through the first 10 races, so hopefully this will help that out. With him continuing to run sixth place, you know, I think they'll find a way to keep him in there if he's got a real chance at the championship.
Yeah, I think you're right, and he's been running pretty well this year, you want to see him continue to do well and to progress in his career. So this is a huge boost for Darrell Wallace Jr. affectionately known as Bubba.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to some of the milestones and some of the current streaks that are happening in the Xfinity Series for fans to be aware of. Elliott Sadler, for the fifth time in his career, is looking to extend his streak of consecutive top 10 finishes. He did this last year, and I remember tracking it last year. He's got it going again this year. He's got six consecutive top 10 finishes so far this season. So Bristol Motor Speedway, he's got a chance to make that seven consecutive top 10 finishes. He posted a record 16 consecutive top 10 finishes last season, tying Brad Keselowski for the fourth most all-time in the Xfinity Series. William Byron, by the way, is the only driver left in the 2017 season to compete every single lap, is the only driver left who has completed every single lap, 100% of the laps run this season so far. So that's something to keep your eye on with William Byron as well.
Those are two amazing stats. And for Sadler, I can't think of a better place to try and extend that, though. Bristol is one of his favorite tracks. Got one of his Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series wins at that track as well. So,
yes, indeed. So I definitely think that Sadler is looking to beat his record from last year. Now then, another little point to note out here about the Xfinity Series is they are having a charity run there this weekend. It's the Speedway Children's Charities 5K, and a couple of dignitaries from the Xfinity Series are going to give the command for that race. That will be taking place Friday evening, April the 21st, and Blake Cook and his crew chief, Chris Rice, from Colleague Racing, will give the command to start that race, and that will happen at Bristol Motor Speedway. So that's kind of a pretty cool thing, and there's more to that, right, MJ?
Yeah, I don't have any notes on that.
Oh, okay. Well, let me go ahead and jump in here with that then. Cook is going to participate in a meet and greet with fans at 7:15 p.m. before joining Chris Rice and Ducky Keller to give the command at 7:30. So there'll be a chance to do a meet and greet with Cook prior to that 5K race.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't have all that.
Cool. Okay. So, yeah, that's kind of a cool thing that's going on at Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend. And it's nice to see the Xfinity Series drivers being a part of that. Let's see here. It will start at the Orange Bridge Circle, the campgrounds and Coliseum, and will end with a lap around the apron of the track. And at the conclusion, fans are invited to stay for a big party at the end in the true Bristol fashion. So it sounds like they're going to have a lot of fun out there. Registration is $25, with all of the proceeds benefiting the local children through the Speedway Children's Charities. So, again, something for fans to just be aware of this weekend. Now, you talked about your greatest regret. I've not been at Bristol yet. That is definitely one of the tracks that's on my bucket list. I've got to make it out there one of these years to go to Bristol Motor Speedway.
You most certainly do. I'll tell you, walking in there, TV does not do that place justice. You walk into that stadium style, and we were sitting, my son and I went the first time, we were sitting in row 6. You come in at about row 60, and you just look almost straight down. You know, it's amazing, I can tell you.
It sounds like it. And there's a reason they call it Thunder Valley, right?
That's right. Actually, that year we were there was the year it was for the Monster Energy Cup Series race when Carl Edwards and Kyle Busch battled it out in the last 50 laps, each getting a bump and run in, Carl Edwards coming out ahead in that race. And after the race, as we were filing out with the crowd, there was some post-race activity, if you will. Kyle had come around and bumped Carl, got him a little sideways and went by him. Carl went up and did the same thing, but he completed it. He spun Kyle completely out. And you're talking about a crowd of 160,000. You know, 1 minute they're all
That's
cheering
huge.
When Carl's out doing it. And then in a split second, it'll switch to all boos because then Kyle's doing it. It's just,
right.
You can't even explain it. It's just phenomenal.
You got to be there to really appreciate it.
That's one that, yeah, if you got a bucket list, that's definitely one that I would put at the very top. Actually, with preparing for the show and doing all this stuff on Bristol, I've been known to do crazy things, and I got races to go to here in town on Friday and Saturday night, but I could still make that trip up to Bristol for Sunday's race.
It gets you excited for it, doesn't it, just talking about it. You know, we've got a few minutes here. I think I'm going to take this as an opportunity to just remind fans that the ARCA Racing Series is still on break, but they will be racing next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, April 30th. They'll be racing the Kentuckiana Ford Dealers ARCA 200, and Salem Speedway is one of the favorite tracks on the circuit. That race will take place on April 30th. 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So fans will definitely want to catch that race. Now, I just want to point out a couple of things here. I'm checking to make sure. Yeah, that's going to be on MAV TV. So fans will be able to catch that race on MAV TV. If you don't have MAV TV, then head on over to ArcaRacing.com. They do a great job with a chat feature there, but they have live timing and scoring throughout the race as well. So just a kind of a preview, if you will, of that Kentuckiana Ford Dealers ARCA 200 race at Salem for next weekend. And, of course, MJ, you and I will be going more in-depth about that race next Thursday night on our NASCAR Weekend Preview show.
That's right. We'll get all the information we need going into that race. You know, we didn't do a whole lot on them this week with them being off, but we'll definitely go in-depth with them next week.
All right. So definitely stay tuned for that next Thursday night. All right, I think we're close enough to go ahead and get into the big race this weekend, which is the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. I love all the racing in the NASCAR series, but the Monster Energy is the elite race of the weekend, and they will be racing the Food City 500 this Sunday, April the 23rd, and it will be broadcast on Fox at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Radio coverage, PRN, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. They will be racing 500 laps covering 266.5 miles. As far as the stages, stage one is going to end on lap 125, stage two on lap 250, and, of course, the final stage ends on lap 500. A do not miss race. There's a lot going on in this Monster Energy Cup Series, and a lot of drivers to keep your eyes on, because I think the racing this year has been so much more fun to watch with the Sage Racing, Jay.
Yeah, this is what I was just looking at our time. We got 30 minutes left. We could do an hour and a half show on the Cup Series alone, especially, again, at Bristol.
No kidding. And we know how drivers can get intense at a track, especially like Bristol. And they usually are intense. And with the stage racing, some of the drivers that have expected to have good series season that have kind of fallen short this season are going to be looking to make that up this season, this weekend at Bristol. And one of those drivers is Kyle Busch. His brother and him both have really good showings at Bristol Motor Speedway. So this could be an opportunity for Kyle Busch this weekend as well as his brother.
Well, and again, Joe Gibbs Racing as a whole does real good there, but those two, as you mentioned, both Busch brothers, the active drivers that have the most wins. They each have 5 wins at Bristol. Let me see. Kyle's last win was in spring of 2011 there, while Kurt's last victory was way back in 2016. But they do still, like I said, both have the highest number of wins there.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you look at Kyle's record there as well as Kurt's, Kyle has 8 top fives, 13 top tens, and an average finish of 14.3. Kurt has 9 top fives and 16 top tens and 32 Bristol starts. The other important stat here for Kyle, he has the second best Bristol driver rating at 100.5. Kurt's fifth best on that list at 93.1. But both drivers do really, really well at Bristol. And although it's been a little while since they've won there, this could be an exception when you consider that Kurt Busch won at Daytona to start off his season. And Kyle Busch has been kind of behind the eight ball so far this season. He wants to make that up at a track like Bristol where he's done well in the past.
Well, and this is definitely a place for him to do it. I'll throw another stat in there. Across, we talked about him running trucks and Xfinity. Across the top 3 NASCAR series, he has 17 wins total at Bristol.
Isn't that amazing?
That's what
that's
you call
amazing
dominating a track.
So definitely two drivers to keep your eyes on this weekend in the Cup Series. Here's another driver to keep your eye on. What about Kevin Harvick? He won the August race there last year. He'd love to make it a consecutive finish with a victory this season.
That's right. He's a third in the driver rating. Let's see if I can find his stat on that. Yep, third in the driver rating. His is a 95.7. And he's another one that came out pretty strong, got a few stage points, and then hasn't been as strong. So he'll be looking to turn his season around here as well.
Yep, that's true. I just want to clarify, he's 10th in the series point standings. He's 117 markers behind Kyle Larson. But he holds 3 playoff points as a result of 3 stage wins. And I know he's going to be looking to better that as well. And Harvick can be really good at Bristol as well. He's got 11 top fives, 15 top tens. 15.4 is his average finish there. But he's got 2 wins. He's got the second best average running position at 12.2, and he's the third best in driver rating, which is what you pointed out, the 95.7.
Yeah, I don't have the details. I generally go with the average finish because I know that NASCAR likes to use that driver rating, but there's so much goes into factoring that.
That there is a lot that goes into that for sure. Now, another driver who's been doing really good this season is Joey Logano. He's going to look to continue to do well at Bristol. He's had 4 top 10 finishes there, and 2 of the 4 top 10 finishes are wins in his last 5 starts at that track. His only career top 10 finish in the spring race there was his 10th place showing last year. So he wants to do well this weekend for sure after finishing third place at Texas their last time out.
That's right. He's fifth in the series standings, 72 points behind Larson. He has finished sixth or better in every race except for Phoenix, where he had the blown tire and crashed after leading 82 laps.
How disappointing is that? To be leading and doing so well and then get that flat tire.
I think he really would have had a shot to win that, but I definitely see him being a factor in the Bristol this weekend.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Not only does he have momentum going for him with the races that he's raced this season, but he's done pretty well there with the four top ten finishes in his 5 years racing there. Now, Kenseth had an announcement this week. Some people thought maybe he'd be announcing this would be his last season, but it turned out he brought on a new sponsor with Circle K for this season, and he's looking to continue to build some momentum at Bristol this weekend.
Again, I know this year Joe Gibbs isn't performing where they'd like to be. Kenseth has dug himself kind of a hole with three finishes of 36 or worse, 22nd in the points, 189 behind Carl Larson. But if you look on the reverse side of that, he is the one that has the best driver rating at 100.9. And his average finish there is 14.18. And he also holds four wins, only one behind the Busch brothers.
Yeah, he can be really good at that track. Although Joe Gibbs Racing is struggling this year, I anticipate at some point at one of these tracks there's going to be a turnaround for Joe Gibbs Racing, and it would not surprise me if that doesn't happen. It wouldn't surprise me if it does happen at Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend.
With that, if you look back through the years from 09 to 16, which is 16 races, two races per year for those years, Joe Gibbs Racing has eight wins. That's 50% of those. Kenseth has led 1,572 laps, and Kyle Busch has led 1,960 laps. So this could be the weekend where they quit talking about Joe Gibbs, just like they had to stop talking about Jimmy Johnson being able to win. I think this weekend might be a weekend where they, realize that Joe Gibbs can still run a team and win.
It's certainly something to keep your eye on this weekend for sure. And, a lot of people are pulling for Kenseth to have a turnaround happen here at some point. But definitely keep your eye on Matt Kenseth this weekend. Another driver that we cannot dismiss at Bristol is Kyle Larson. He is the series points leader right now, and he wants to do well at Bristol. He has had a breakout season so far this season. He had his fourth runner-up showing at Texas, marking fifth top two finish in six races this season. That's amazing what he's been able to do so far this year.
And it's one of those that everybody was expecting, when he came into the sport. He got his first win last year, but it wasn't until the end of the season that he got that first second-place finish, as you said, at Homestead to start that streak. And, again, Daytona, he was leading when he chugged and ran out of gas or his engine sputtered. So could have extended that streak, if not won the 500.
Exactly. And remember, Kevin Harvick a couple of years ago in 2015 had six top fives going. And I remember we were tracking his top five finishes that season as well to see just how far he could go. Going back further than that, Dale Earnhardt had five in 1987, Bobby Allison five in 1972, and again in 1979, and Cale Yarborough had five consecutive top fives going in 1974. So it's pretty, when you think about it, that's a big accomplishment for a driver early in his Cup Series season, or career, I should say.
Yeah, he's definitely putting his name up there with some other names in history. You know, hopefully you'll be able to continue that. The one thing of going into Bristol, though, is his average finish there is 21.5. So it's not his best track.
It's not his best track, but I would say that Kyle Larson's having a breakthrough year. And I think that could be a little misleading if you look at his average finish at that track. I'm going to predict that he's going to do much better than a 21.5 average finish that he holds right now. I think we're going to see him at least in the top 10, if not the top 5 again this weekend.
You know, I'd like to believe that. Again, though, that, you know, Bristol is one of those tracks that you either run good at it or you don't. So I could see him getting close to the top 10 with how he's been running this year. And that's not to say he can't go out there and prove me wrong, and I'd certainly be more than happy to see that. But I think you're looking at maybe a 15th place finish for him at this one.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk about this again in the review show. We'll see. We'll be able to come back and visit that and see who comes closest with our predictions here with that. Okay, now another driver who would love to do really well in front of a hometown crowd or a home state crowd is Knoxville, Tennessee native Trevor Bain. Again, talking about Roush Fenway Racing, Trevor's had a much better season this year with that team.
That's right. And again, was it 5 starts at Bristol? He's got an average finish of 18.8 with a high showing of 5th. With the way they're running this year, I certainly see him improving on that. But just like Kyle Larson, that's got to be one of those, you got to show me. Because Bristol, it's not a Sunday drive, you know, out in the country. You got to be up on it.
And you're up on it for 500 laps. That's what's amazing. And honestly, when they talk, let me just kind of bring this up since we have a little bit of time here. I'd love to get your thoughts about this, MJ. You know, they've been talking about the possibility of shortening the races. And my thinking on that is that one of the things that distinguishes the Cup Series from the other series is that it's not just about racing the race and seeing who can finish the race first. It's about the stamina that it takes to be a Cup Series driver. And it's the length of those races that make it that way. With the stage racing that we have now, do you think there's still a need to shorten these races?
Now, you're going to have me back next week no matter what I say here, right?
Yep, I will. It's okay for us to disagree.
There are a couple. I would say there are a couple races that could be shortened. Not very many of them, but there's a couple. And I know they talk about Pocono, how they made that much better when they took 100 laps off of that one. But I do think that the stage racing kind of offset that. I think before they do anything, let the stage racing go a year or two and then look at it and see what they need to do. Because this stage racing has really changed everything about NASCAR racing.
I really think it has. I think it's made it a lot more enjoyable to watch a race. I know some people have said they've fallen asleep during the race because there's nothing really to see until the last 20 laps or so. But with this stage racing, you can't fall asleep because you're going to miss some really great racing at the end of those stages. And these drivers are up on it going for those points.
Well, we talked about that. Just look at Martinsville when you had Ricky Stenhouse going to go a lap down, Kyle trying to get by him, and that was coming up on the end of the stage. So Ricky wants to stay on the lead lap. Kyle's, you know, thinking he's just going to get that. And by tangling with Ricky, Chase Elliott comes in and gets those stage points.
That's right.
You know, previous races, you wouldn't have seen that kind of battling at that point in a race.
So let me ask you, sometimes we talk about Bristol Motor Speedway being a bumping and banging kind of track. And with the stage racing, do you think the drivers are going to try to take care of their cars better and not do as much bumping and banging because of that?
No, I don't think so. That was what made Bristol what it was when they reconfigured it. There are some issues with that. They ground the top back to try and put – and I know we didn't talk about it, but this year they're putting down a wider stretch of the VHT. I've heard it called a couple different things, the glue, sticky substance on that bottom lane. They actually are widening it out to 5 to 10 feet more this year.
That's amazing. So that's going to give them a little more room to race.
A little more grip down there so that both lanes are equal so that you can run side by side. So you won't necessarily have as much push into the bottom, you know, or one lane, whichever lane it happens to be. For a few years there, it moved to the high lane, but the grip down there. And I know they talked about last year, by the time it got to the cup race, there had been three races, whereas this year there will only be two, and one of them is going to be a short one with the Can-Am Pro Series. So a lot of that grip will still be there on Sunday.
Absolutely. So fans will definitely want to kind of keep in tune with what's happening with those changes to the track. Now, I was just looking for the tire notes at Bristol, too, because tires are going to maybe be an issue this weekend, as well as brakes. A lot of braking at Bristol Motor Speedway. And during the night race, you can see them glowing because the drivers are using those brakes so much at that track. And now, with Martinsville having lights now, I think we're going to see the same thing. If we see a night race at Bristol, there'll be a lot of glowing going on with those brake rotors, with the constant braking that they're doing there. So that's something to keep an eye on. Now, here's some of the tire notes for this weekend. They'll be running the Goodyear Eagle Speedway radials. Cup teams will get 4 sets for practice, 1 set for qualifying, and 7 sets for the race. We didn't mention this in the Xfinity Series preview, but they get six sets for their event. That's just something to kind of keep your eye on this weekend. Good racing is as simple as black rubber and white concrete, and Goodyear is going to bring a unique tire combination that matches up well with the concrete surface at Bristol this weekend. This tire is set up for laying down rubber quickly, which helps to create multiple racing grooves and will make for a very high competitive race at Bristol. It's a short track, but it has some speedway characteristics, so Goodyear's taken that into consideration. The tires are designed to optimize handling as well as withstanding the loads and speeds generated with the steep banking that you see at Bristol Motor Speedway. So something else for fans to be aware of at Bristol. Now, one thing I want to bring up here, a lot of the times drivers are blaming the tires. We heard it just recently. But I think what happens at a lot of these tracks, every track that these drivers go to, they're given tire codes for the pressure and for the air pressure for those tires. What all crew chiefs and all teams try to do is they try to push that to the very max. And sometimes by doing that, they'll go just a tad beyond what NASCAR has recommended. And that's when we see the blown tires on the track. So just keep in mind, drivers know, and those teams know what the code is for that weekend, and where their air pressure needs to be. And usually when you see those tires low, it's because those teams have pushed it beyond what that limit is.
Well, and there's several factors that play into that as well. The camber that they're using, the brakes, well, the size of the brake pads and how much heat they're getting out of the brakes. And then as well as I noticed a couple of different teams, how they're setting up their blowers onto the brakes. So all of those things factor in. And like you said, you know, there's recommendations, and these teams are trying to get so much out of that car. They're trying to push it to that edge that you're right, that they're going over that, and that's causing these tire problems.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with their tire allotment and with their tire management at Bristol Motor Speedway. And it sounds like Goodyear's bringing a tire that's going to lay down some rubber on the track. And the drivers like it because it does open up multiple grooves on the track. So taking a look at, let's start with dark horses to keep your eye on at Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend in the Cup Series. Any dark horses that you think could surprise us this weekend?
Well, we got a couple of them. Top, and I don't even know if you could consider him a dark horse, other than the fact of, again, he's not quite where he wants to be this year, but Ricky Stenhouse has 2 second-place finishes and a 10.63 average for Bristol, which is only behind Chase Elliott in 9.5. Now, Chase Elliott is only based off of 2 starts.
Wow. So Ricky Stenhouse could be a dark horse, somebody to keep your eye on this weekend. And again, Roush Fenway has been showing some signs of improvement. And you wrote an article about that a couple weeks ago, MJ. And I think that that's worthy of note to keep an eye on what they do at Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend, especially with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And we mentioned Trevor Bayhn being in his home state this weekend. So both of those drivers are going to be looking to do well.
Another one in a Ford. Well, I was going to say there's another one in a Ford that you might have to watch out for, and that's Clint Bowyer. He finished 8th here in the spring last year, and that was with H. Scott Motorsports, one of only 3 top 10s he had all year with that team.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think that's definitely another driver to keep your eye on. Another driver in a Ford, to keep your eye on and just see what happens, he doesn't have any he's only got 3 races at that track, and his stats don't really show up at this track, but I'm going to call him a dark horse to watch this weekend only because he's had such a good season up to this point, and I expect that to continue here at Bristol Motor Speedway, and that's Ryan Blaney. I think he's definitely one of the drivers to keep your eye on. There's not a lot of stats for me to justify making that pick as a dark horse. It's just a feeling based on how he's run so far this season. I think he's racing toward having a breakout here in this series, and I think he's a driver to keep your eye on this weekend.
He most certainly is, and paired up with as a Penske satellite team. You know, you got Brad Keselowski. He's got 2 wins there. Him and Joey Logano to lean on. So he's definitely, again, one you got to look at, keep an eye on. Like you said, if you want to go with one that's not in a Ford, based off of Xfinity starts, this will be his first time at Bristol in a Cup car. But Erik Jones had 3 straight poles with 1 win in the Xfinity series.
That's amazing. I'm really impressed with him as a driver, and I couldn't agree more. Definitely keep your eye on what Erik Jones does this weekend. Now, I'm looking at the Monster Energy Cup Series, the top 16 at Bristol Motor Speedway. We all know that Kyle Busch is great at that track with having 5 wins the 8 top fives and 13 top 10 finishes. His average running position is 14.3, but if I look at average running positions of these top 16, the one who has the best average running position, and he could be a dark horse this weekend too, is actually, he only has two races at that track, but his average finish is 9.5. He has one top five and he has one top 10 there, and that's Chase Elliott. His driver rating is at 94.9, so definitely keep your eye on Chase Elliott too.
You know, we might lose all our fans if we don't talk about Junior, Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's obviously not
there
a dark,
you go.
Although some, you know, I was looking at stuff on the internet today. There are some people considering him a dark horse, but he's got a 12.52 average finish. The second is Bristol is his second best track as far as that, as far as average finish.
Ah, so definitely. And you know, everybody's been wondering where the Hendrick drivers are. But I think in the last couple of races, I think they've been showing up.
Yeah, it's just like with Joe Gibbs and, you know, Jimmy Johnson's quote after winning at Texas was like, oh, I guess I remembered how to drive. You know, my crew remembers how to get me to the front, you know. I mean, that's how competitive this is.
And it really is a very, very competitive in this Cup Series. And there is no more competitive racing than what you see in the NASCAR Cup Series. It's just amazing what goes on in this series. You know, a lot of times it's just a matter of fractions of a second's difference between what happens with these drivers. I just think it's going to be exciting to see what happens at Bristol this weekend. We mentioned Kevin Harvick as one of the drivers to watch. I'm just trying to see if there's any other drivers. Brad Keselowski could be another driver to keep your eye on. He's got two wins at that track, four top fives, five top tens, and an average finish of 15.9. But he's been having a pretty good season this year as well.
That's right, the only multiple-time winner this year. Going back a dark horse or two, although Almirola has a win, it came on the Super Speedway. He's had a best finish of third back in 2014. And then, of course, Matt DiBenedetto got his first top five there last season.
Okay. Well, we're coming down to the last couple minutes here of the show, Jay. I know you've got some articles that fans can watch for this week coming out at fanforracing.com. Let's talk about your next article that's going to be coming out here.
Next one coming up will be about the evolution of NASCAR, some changes it's made. Kind of sparked that was, you know, adding the stage racing this year and the announcement for the All-Star race of the softer tire compound option for the drivers, one per the set, because that might come into play later down the road. They're talking about that maybe being implemented in 2018, depending on how this goes. So I went back and took a look at some of the things that NASCAR has tried, some things they've changed, and just how the sport is run in a different era from Big Bill France Senior, Junior, and now under Brian France. So
it sounds very interesting, so I can't wait to read it, and I hope fans look forward to reading it as well. We'll have that out, what's today, Thursday? We'll try to have that out sometime between now and tomorrow so that fans can take a gander at that. And I know you've got a lot more writing that you've got planned here, so fans definitely look for Jay, MJ Huseman. Jay, let's make sure fans know how they can follow you on social media.
Right now, I do have a Facebook. Promises maybe getting a Twitter account here within the next week or so. We'll see how that goes. gonna go get a new phone, but over the weekend I'm generally so busy going to the dirt track racing. So,
and talk about that here. I know we're gonna go just a minute or two over time, but you're an announcer at Magnolia Speedway, right?
Yes, that's right. Magnolia Motor Speedway in Columbus, Mississippi. Columbus actually has two dirt tracks tomorrow night. Columbus Speedway will be hosting the Mississippi State Challenge, Mississippi State Championship Challenge Series for the Super Late Models. They were at the Magnolia last week, and they're here at Columbus tomorrow night. And then Saturday night, I'm going to travel down to near Meridian, Mississippi for Why Not Motorsports Park, the House of Hook, another excellent track, for their weekly racing series.
Okay, that's going to be awesome. I know a lot of you folks remember the yellow caution flag calling into the show now and then. And I know he follows the Why Not racing, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
That's Kristen. Yeah, he does the announcing down there, and I've been down there a couple of times. And again, just getting into this, he's one that I'm learning from every time I watch him, you know.
So definitely fun. Well, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed our first NASCAR weekend preview show of the 2017 season. Jay, it's great having you on board here as part of our Fan for Racing crew. And I can't wait for next Thursday night when we get to do this all over again.
That's right. And I'll be just as excited. We've got another short track with Richmond coming, so be as pumped up as ever.
As ever. And we will be here every Thursday night, 8:30 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, with myself and MJ, and we will try to give you as much preview information as we possibly can. Watch for previews to be coming out on Fan for Racing for the races this weekend. I'll also have the Camping World Truck Series news and notes coming out tomorrow. And we'll put out the Xfinity preview on Saturday and, of course, the Cup preview on Sunday. So definitely be on the lookout for that at fanforracing.com. Jay, it's been a pleasure, and thank you for being here with us and allowing us to continue and get going again with our NASCAR weekend preview. I really appreciate that, and we'll call it a wrap for now. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next Thursday night.
All right, Sharon. Thank you for the opportunity. Again, I'm just happy to be able to bring it back to the fans. I know it's something that, you know, fans look forward to.
And we appreciate all of our fans taking time to listen. And just so you know, if you miss the live broadcast, don't forget to tune in for the podcast. Because you can always listen to the podcast via the links that we publish online. We're also on iTunes. If you're an iTunes user, you can find Fan for Racing Radio on iTunes, and all of our podcasts are available there as well. Usually by tomorrow, those will be available. By the next day, they're available on iTunes. So definitely tune in. Even if you miss the live broadcast, you can catch up on the broadcast by listening to the podcast. So take care. Have a great race weekend, and we'll talk to you on the other side with our NASCAR and Race Talk on Monday night with Sal Sagala at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Take care. And good night.